walls is pushing back at you. To some extent, I think that's what John is saying here. That's what this is like. He said standing in front of this multitude was just kind of overwhelming. I actually had the privilege of going to Victoria Falls, which is between Zambia and Zimbabwe in Africa. And it's the Zambezi River, which is kind of this big, wide, meandering river that flows through Africa and eventually out into the ocean in Mozambique. And it's huge. It's about 1.5 kilometers wide where Victoria Falls are. And if you're sitting upstream from the falls, it's just this nice wide river. There's some islands in it. There's birds flying around. Actually, I saw an elephant in the water. And it floating along, and it drops off a cliff. It's 1.5 kilometers wide, and it falls 100 meters off a cliff. It just... And the locals call it the smoke that thunders. Because from miles and miles around, you can see the spray coming up from it, and you can hear it. And it's impressive. It's like Niagara Falls, but wider. But I went for a walk. We didn't take a boat underneath, but I went for a walk along the top, and you're just soaking wet because that water and that force is coming at you. And John said, this is what it's like. He said, I'm standing here near the throne, and he said, I'm being overpowered by this sound of people yelling, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, he reigns. John says it's a song of the redeemed that's going to be like that. Millions and millions of voices, unhindered singing. And they're singing. In verse 1, they says, great multitude in heaven is shouting, hallelujah. In verse 3, he says, and again they shouted, hallelujah. In verse 4, the 24 elders and the four living creatures, you got to read the rest of Revelation to know about the 24 elders and the four living creatures. But they all cry, amen, hallelujah. And in verse 6, he says, it's like the roar of rushing waters and like the peals of thunder shouting, hallelujah, for our Lord Almighty reigns. What is hallelujah? What does that mean? I actually looked it up. I said, okay, what does this mean? And it's actually not even an English word. They've just taken the Hebrew words and they've just implanted it into English. It's actually two words that we put together. One is, it's actually the verb called halal. And those of you who are English majors, it's the second person imperative masculine plural form of halal. So second person means it's you. It's not me, it's you. And it's plural, so it's you plural. It's vous, not tu. It's all of you, and it's imperative, so it's a command. You, all of you, praise. That's the hallelujah part. And then Yah is God's name. So it's all of you, praise God. Hallelujah. Quite simple, actually. So the writer of the song that we sang about glory, glory, he reigns, understands this vision that John has of sometime in the future that all of the believers from the generations and generations are gathered around the throne saying, hallelujah, hallelujah. But they've taken that idea and they said, you know what? That's happening now here on earth. Like now, like right now. What time is it? 10:45? What time is it in Japan? Anybody know? Australia? Russia? What time is it in Turkey? 7 hours. So it's 10:45 here. What is it there? 5:45? Okay. So church is over in Turkey. Anybody know about Africa? Lagos? Lagos might be 5 hours from us. So it might be 3:45. Church might still be going in Lagos. They do long services. But the people who wrote this song, the Newsboys and Steve Taylor, say, you know what? Globally, this is what's happening every Sunday morning. In Japan, people get up, Japan being the land of the rising sun. I brought a visual aid today. So imagine after Jen, we'll play around with it. So imagine you're God. You're sitting out and you're watching the earth go around the sun and you're watching every day this earth rotates. I guess it goes this way. And every day you hear what's going on the earth. You see the evil that people do to each other. You hear the cries of the distressed. And then Sunday morning, As the sun starts coming up over the Pacific Ocean, coming toward Japan, toward New Zealand, toward Australia, the sun starts coming up. People get up in the morning in Japan, in New Zealand, in Australia. They get up, they get dressed, they have their breakfast, they drink their tea, and the Christians start heading to church. And what happens? Well, the musicians get there first. And they tune up their instruments, and they practice a little bit. And the preachers tweak their sermons, and they get ready. The worship team prays together in Japan and in New Zealand, and they start to sing. And there's a little hum of praise that starts on the earth. And then as the sun comes up in Siberia, Christians get up and have their breakfast, have their tea, and they go to church. And the musicians get there first, and what do? They tune up their instruments, and they start to practice. The preachers start working on their sermons. They pray together. And we hit Sydney, Australia. And we hit Indonesia, Papua New Guinea, the Philippines. The Philippines. There's lots and lots of churches in the Philippines. And people get up in the morning, and they have their breakfast, and they drink their tea, and then they go to church, and the musicians tune up their instruments, and they start to practice, and the preachers get ready, and they worship together, and that hum starts to build. And as we go across, we work our way across Russia, across China. We go across China, Chinese Christians get up. What do? They have their breakfast, they drink their tea, they go to church. The musicians start tuning up, they start practicing a little, make sure they're together. The preachers are getting their sermons ready, they pray together. Some of the Chinese go to formal government-sanctioned churches. They go to the three self-churches. Some of them go to churches that meet in people's homes. They're underground churches. Some of them go places that would be illegal to go to, but they go to have church together. And that hum across the world starts to go up. And it moves its way across China to Mongolia. Moves its way across Russia. Moves its way across Australia. We're getting into Perth, Australia. We're working our way into places like Singapore, like Seoul, Korea. People there get on the train and go to church. They're in mega cities and they go to mega churches. And guess what? The musicians are warming up their instruments. They're tuning them up. They're singing together. They're getting ready. They pray together, the worship teams. We move across there. We hit places like Bangladesh and India and Sri Lanka. We continue to move across Russia. We come to Afghanistan and all the other stands. Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, Iran. You know what? There's Christians in all those places, and they get up on Sunday mornings. And the musicians go to church, and they tune up their instruments, and they practice together, and the preachers get their sermons together, and they pray together to get started. Because you know what? What started as a little tiny hum in Japan is working its way across the world, and it's getting a little louder and a little louder, and there's more and more people joining that chorus. There's millions and millions of people who are singing. And what are they singing? Glory, glory, he reigns. Hallelujah. And then, you know, as we get into the Middle East, we get into Iran, Iraq, Yemen, Saudi Arabia, there's Christians there. Did you know that? There are. We're moving across. We're getting to Moscow and St. Petersburg. And then guess who starts waking up? Africa. And when the African Christians start waking up, there's a bit of enthusiasm. There's some excitement. There's some dancers and singers. There are people who are going to be singing and dancing and worshiping God in Africa. And across Africa, they get up and they have their breakfast and they drink their tea. And then the musicians go to church. And then the pastors tweak their sermons a little bit. They pray together and then that worship starts. And we work our way across Africa and it gets more and more loud. There's more and more excitement. And across all of Europe it goes. We work our way across. So now we've started in Japan and we've run away all the way across the world. And that chorus of believers singing and worshiping together is getting louder and louder. So think about God hearing this all across the world. It's coming. The Africans are getting louder. Europeans are getting louder. Even the French who go to church, they sing. I don't know how loudly they sing. Work our way across Africa, across Europe. And sometime we hit the west coast of Africa. We hit Senegal, Dakar. We hit Belfast, Ireland. And that music starts to quiet down. As the churches wind up and things quiet down on a Sunday morning, and we move across the Atlantic. And Christians in places like Recife, Brazil, St. John's, Newfoundland, get up, they have their breakfast, they drink their tea, The musicians get to church, they start to tune up, and they start to pick up the chorus that had been running across Africa and across Europe. They start picking it up, and then that music continues. And it runs across Brazil, it runs across the Americas, places like St. John's and Halifax, like Boston, places like Uruguay, Valparaiso, Quito, Ecuador, Lima, Peru, Mexico City, Matagalpa, Haiti. All across the Americas, the same song rumbles across. The song of glory, glory, hallelujah. He reigns, he reigns. It runs across North America, through Central America, across South America. And eventually, as the chorus runs across the Americas, we get to places like Los Angeles that are on the West Coast. We get to Vancouver. Eventually, some churches in Yukon and in Alaska. And as the sun starts setting on the Americas, there's a few churches left in the Pacific Islands and Hawaii that finish off the chorus. In 24 hours, we started in Japan, and that chorus runs across the whole earth, that song of glory, glory, he reigns. I think God must love Sundays, where he can hear that song coming across the globe in all kinds of languages, whether it's in Japanese, whether it's in New Zealand English, whether it's in Bahasa Indonesian, whether it's in Vietnamese or Cambodian or Russian, whether it's in German or French or Swahili, whatever language it is, there are people who are praising God all across the world together. And it's a bit of a warm-up for what John sees in Revelation, that at one point we're all going to get together, and that sound is going to be overwhelming. It's going to be like thunder. It's going to be like rushing waters. It's going to be like something we've never experienced before. Psalm 147 says, "His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, or his delight in the legs of man. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love." On Sundays, people all across the world join in that song. The song reminds us that we are part of something much bigger than just Pine Grove Bible Church. We're part of a grateful choir made up of every tribe, every tongue, every nation. Now, for me, this is particularly pertinent because I've been in some of those churches. Most recently, we spent 3 years in one in Tanzania, which, on my beach ball, is over here. It's on the east coast of Africa. We're in a church called the Dar es Salaam Christian Fellowship. And actually, it was a lot like this church. Maybe 80 people on a Sunday morning. We didn't have a pastor. We rotated leadership. We had volunteers who did all kinds of things. But on a Sunday morning, we get together. We had some people who led worship. We had somebody who preached. The only professionals we had were the kids who collected the offering, just like here. We had snacks and coffee after church. It was, as I said, about 80 people. It was a lot like this church. Don and Janet, Marg, you came to see by our church. The only difference was when you looked out the window was the Indian Ocean. It had palm trees and the waves are crashing up against the shore. And we used to have to open the windows to let the cool breeze in because it got too hot. And it was very much like this morning because the power would go off on a regular basis. And actually, near the end, they actually put in air conditioning in that building. And so the last few months we were there, we had air conditioning, which was a big plus. But you know, on a Sunday morning, and every now and then we count how many nationalities were represented. And it was in English. It was an English service, and lots of people were expatriates, people from outside. And often we'd have 15 or 20 different nationalities represented. So while the church happened in English, at the end of the service, you'd have people talking to each other in German or in Dutch or in Afrikaans or in Swahili, some of the language, because people connected with each other. But the church service as a whole was in English. And we were a group of believers that got together to worship together, to hear God's word, to encourage one another in the struggles of life. We had a men's breakfast. First Saturday of every month, we had a men's breakfast. There was a women's Bible study. There was a women's prayer meeting that met during the week. There were a couple of home groups. Debbie led or worked with the music teams some of the time we were there. I preached some of the times. For a while, we led a home group. It was a lot like here. But you know what? It's the song of the redeemed. Rising from the African plain, it's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. That's what the church is. It's the song of the redeemed, of the forgiven, the song of believers. A love song born of a grateful choir. Now, a bunch of years ago, 11 in fact, we belonged to a church in Ghana, which is on the other side of Africa. which is over here. And same thing. We had a pastor then. It wasn't a lay-led church. We had a pastor, but we were part of Elim Christian Fellowship in Ghana. And that church continues on. I just heard from somebody this week. He said, you know, man, this church is doing well. They've moved to a different site, but it continues to go. But there are churches all over the place that do this. Sometimes they're English-speaking churches and they have like pipe organs and choirs. Sometimes they're little informal churches that meet together. I had the immense privilege one Sunday of going to preach in a local church in Tanzania. I'd met this guy who was a pastor, and we talked, and I said, you know, can I come sometime to your church? And he said, oh, we'd love you to come. Now, the church was in Swahili, so I got speaking English, and the pastor translated for me. There was maybe 40 people. Church had a tin roof, and it had walls that came about halfway up. And they had a plan that they were going to put windows or louvers or something on the other half, but they hadn't got there yet. So far, we had brick walls that were about this high, poles that went up, and then a tin roof. There were goats outside, and a couple times during the service, the goats made a bunch of noise. There were birds that would fly in and out through the service as we went along. But you know what? They didn't have any electricity. They didn't have much of anything, but they still had church. Actually, one of the members of the choir had a pair of sticks, and he would keep rhythm when they sang. But they had a choir, and it sang really well, and it was really exciting to sit there. I didn't understand the words, but I definitely understood the emotion. And I preached to them that Sunday morning with Pastor Danius, and we had a good time. At the end of the service, they brought out a case of pop, and we sat down, and we had pop together, and we talked to each other, and I got to know their leadership a little bit. But it was a real privilege for me. And actually, this week, I texted Pastor Danius, and I said, you know what, I'm going to talk about your church. Take my greetings to your church, because it was a special event for me. And you know what, I got a text back this morning. I'm going to read it to you. He says, this is from the pastor of this church, he said, greetings to you. How are you this Sunday? How was your service? We prayed for you. They prayed for our church this morning. Just to reply to your message. Brother Jonathan, I appreciate. Thank you very much for remembering and encouraging us. We're all good. We love you. From Pastor Daniels. The church is global. The church is everywhere. People who go barefoot to church and meet in a little mud hut. People who take high-speed trains to get to church. People who wear suits and ties. People who wear their jeans and their shorts. Whether it's in Tanzania or Minot, North Dakota or Prince George, B.C. or Madagascar, Haiti. Churches are happening all over the place. And my assessment is that Pine Grove Bible Church is actually really typical of churches. We look at bigger churches that have fancy buildings, that have multiple people on staff, that have run all kinds of programs. Those are abnormal, actually, in most of the world. Most churches are probably like us, maybe 100 people, maybe a little less than that. They meet on Sunday mornings. They may have a pastor, they may not have a pastor. But they meet together to worship together, to learn about God's word, to encourage one another. They run some programs depending on how many kids they have. They might run a Sunday school. They might run a youth program. There might be a women's Bible study or something for the men. But they try and be God's kingdom in the world. This song is also especially pertinent to me because my family right now is spread around the world. My daughter, Janelle, goes to Church on Main in Cape Town, South Africa. And during the school year, they have a campus church, and she goes to the church on campus. Sunday night, she goes to the main church, which is on Main Street, so it's called the Church on Main. But in that campus church, she's on the leadership team. She does worship. Once in a while, she preaches. Where's Paul? She actually has written a couple of worship songs. So next time she's around, corner her. She won't say that out loud, but she has. But she's involved in that church. And she's so on church on campus, but then in the evening she goes to their main campus. And she tells me it's a hipster church. She said everybody there wears plaid. She said they serve coffee and homemade ginger beer. So they actually run a coffee shop in the church during the week to employ local people because they're kind of in a sketchy neighborhood, and so they figured they should provide some employment. But she goes to church there. My son Ross is in Calgary. He goes to Thornhill Baptist Church, which is a bigger, more organized. Oh, Ron, I was going to tell you what it is. I think it's a North American Baptist, but I'm not positive on that. But at Baptist Church, he actually sings in a choir. Who knew that Ross would sing in a choir? But he does. My wife, actually, those of you who know this, she moved to Iqaluit almost 2 months ago in Nunavut, and she's trying to figure out a church. I was up there a couple of weeks ago. She's tried out a couple of Pentecostal churches, and she tried out an Anglican church, and she's trying to figure out which one really fits her. But she's worshipped. She's sung glory, glory, hallelujah with Inuit people in the north. There are churches everywhere. But you know what? That song is also significant for our church. Because you know what? We have roots and shoots that spread out all over the place from this church. There's a bunch of people who used to go to this church who go to different churches in Ottawa now. For whatever reason, they left our church. Some of them grew up and said, you know what? I want to go somewhere else. Some of them might have left a little grumpy. But they're going to another church somewhere. We have people in the Life Center. We have people in Celebration Church. We have people at, what is it, Eastvale Alliance. We have people in other churches who are, have been part of this body and are now somewhere else. And are being fed there and who are contributing there. And you know what? That's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But outside of Ottawa, we have people who've gone other places. Ralph and Sally Wilkinson are in Perth. They go to a church there. So other people who've moved outside. Paul and Sue Houston. They're in Montreal, in the suburbs of Montreal. They go to a Brethren church there. And they're in leadership. They contribute, them and their two girls. Jeff and Ellie Culp. They're in Calgary. They go to Sunwest Christian Fellowship, which is actually a Mennonite Brethren church. And they are and they're involved there. I don't know how much they're involved. I don't know if Jeff is a deacon yet. My guess is Ellie is leading worship. Is she? Okay. But I figured Ellie couldn't stay very long in a church without getting involved in the music stuff. But they're part of our church, have gone on to somewhere else. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for Brad and Stephanie, who just moved to Calgary. They're going to be looking for a church. Maybe they're going to end up where Jeff and Ellie are. Maybe they'll end up somewhere else. But our church has connections all over the world. A few weeks ago, there was a guy here from New Zealand. Right? I didn't know him, but he's been connected to this church in the past. What's that? Murray Early. Okay? But he had connections to our church, and now they're in New Zealand. So we have connections all over. So we have personal connections with this global church. Adrian and Andrea are in where? Is it Wisconsin? They're in the U.S. at least. But again, connections of our church somewhere else. I mean, our church has global connections. We should be praying for these people. Pine Grove Bible Church, I mean, we're a typical, normal kind of church in the world, and we've got connections globally all over the place. We've helped people develop that song in their hearts, and now they've taken it out somewhere. Let us rise up about the four. Let it rise about the four winds, caught up in the heavenly sound. Let praises echo from the towers of cathedrals to the faithful gathered underground. Of all the songs sung from the dawn of creation, some were meant to persist. Of all the bells rung from a thousand steeples, none rings truer than this. And all the powers of darkness tremble at what they've heard. Because all the powers of darkness can't drown out a single word. Why do the powers of darkness tremble? Because they know the prophecy in Revelation. And what does the prophecy say? They're on the losing side. They know that. And when we sing, glory, glory, he reigns. When we sing, hallelujah, praise God, they tremble. They're afraid because they know this is a victory song. We haven't won the victory yet, but it's a victory song, and we're going to win. And they tremble because they know that. And when Christians in places like Iraq, where ISIL is taking over in Syria and Iraq, the Christians who are there, when they sing together, it doesn't look like they're winning, but they are. Or in China, when the Chinese government is trying to control the churches and make sure that they are sanctioned by the government, that they are tracked by the government, that the sermons are seen by the government before they're preached. The Christians who meet there and sing together, they're on the winning side. The opposing governments aren't going to stop them. And wherever it is around the world, the powers of darkness tremble when we sing together. Canada, we are really, really lucky because we can meet together nobody minds, nobody stops us, there's nobody watching us. We're allowed to meet and sing together, celebrate and worship together. But lots of places they aren't. But you know what? We're still on the winning side. The powers of darkness tremble. One day, we're all going to gather around the throne and sing together. We're all going to be in heaven, as John saw, a roar of a great multitude in heaven. But today when we sing it in anticipation of that day. We sing it here in Beacon Hill South. We're singing it out into our neighborhood. But there are churches in Africa that are singing it. There are churches in the Amazon plains that are singing it. The church underground in cathedrals and in churches with no walls. It's a song from the dawn of creation. You realize, so it's a little after 11 here, we're really in the last stanza of this song. At least the song for today. It started in this part of the world and has moved across. By the time we start singing, 3/4 of the world have already sung their worship songs. But we get to be at the last part. And then it's going to ripple across here. People in Winnipeg are on their way to church. People in Regina are on their way to church. People in North Battleford are on their way to church. People in Calgary are thinking about it. People in Vancouver, they're getting up. They're having their breakfast. They're drinking their tea. Pretty soon the musicians are going to be going there and you start tuning up. But God must stand back and say, wow, this is what people were made for. To sing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns. When all God's children sing, glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns. He reigns. All God's people singing, glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns. No song rings truer than this. Amen.
Thanks, John. We're going to sing that song again, but not just now. We'll save it for the ending.